Prisodi. Christian life and doctrine, gold tried in the fire, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich. Revelation 3:18. Throughout the nearly 2,000 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Heavenly Father has extended an invitation to a special class of Christians who would share in blessing the sin-sick and dying human family under the future administration of Christ's glorious kingdom. In this lesson's opening scripture, our resurrected Lord speaks of this distinct class of His faithful followers in a very special way, those who develop a character valued as gold tried in the fire. Through the writings of John the Revelator, the fact is made clear that after these followers of our Lord Jesus have been called from the world, they must also be cleansed, purified, and conformed to His own character image. To assist them in this endeavor, He will provide them with some very important spiritual gifts they will need to be faithful. Our opening verse continues by saying to these that they are to wear white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou may see. Highly valued. Today gold is one of the top three valued metals in existence, and in Bible times it was the most valuable. It is usually found in small quantities, thus making it very rare. Gold is the first metal mentioned in the Bible, and is associated with the name Pison, meaning increase, one of the four divisions of the river which went out from the Garden of Eden. The river well symbolizes the human family, out of which a special class would be selected, represented by Pison, the first division of the Edenic River mentioned. From the scriptural record, we read, "A river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, there is delium and the onyx stone." Genesis 2, verses 10 to 12. Gold is highly valued not only for its rarity, but also because it has long-lasting durability and beauty. It was recognized as a measure of wealth and prominence in ancient times, even before Abraham's name had been changed. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Genesis 13:2. Throughout the ages, even until today, gold has been highly sought after and even stockpiled, as it were. The scriptures foretell a time, however, when this hoarded wealth will become useless, and the present world and its evil institutions will fall away. James wrote, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." James 5:1-3. Because of its color, luster, and resistance to oxidation and tarnishing, gold is especially useful for making jewelry and ornamentation of many kinds. "Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold." Songs of Solomon 1:10. Because gold is more stable and unchanging than other metals, it has been used as a standard medium of exchange and commerce among nations and people. The divine nature, due to its scarcity and great value, gold is used in the scriptures to illustrate the spiritual inheritance of the bride of Christ on the highest of all planes of life, the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. Our featured scripture is taken from the Lord's message to the last of the seven churches of Revelation. This inspiring promise was, "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Revelation 3:21. Faithful Christians will share the divine nature as members of the Christ and are shown seated on the messianic throne in the future heavenly kingdom. Jesus promised, "I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." Luke 22:29. The bride of Christ, in the Old Testament foreshadowing of future events, Rebekah, the bride of Isaac, symbolizes Christ's bride, made up of his faithful followers. See Genesis chapter 24. To illustrate this, she was given gifts of gold that pictured the wonderful promises of the Heavenly Father who is seeking a bride for his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus. Rebekah willingly left her father's house to set out on an arduous journey that marked her commitment to meet her future husband, Isaac, who in turn represented our Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man, Isaac's servant, took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands, Rebekah's, of 10 shekels weight of gold. Genesis 24:22. In the book of Psalms, there is an illustration of the future marriage ceremony where the bride of Christ is dressed in gold. Gold serves to illustrate her spiritual reward to the divine plane of life. Concerning this most wonderful inheritance, the psalmist wrote, "King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir." Psalms 45 verse 9. The queen stood distinct from her companions, the other honorable women, because of her loyalty to the Lord, who she was about to marry, and because her character had been endowed with the principles of truth and righteousness. From the same psalm we read, "Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou loves righteousness and hates wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Verses 6 and 7. The reference to Ophir identifies a place renowned as a source of much gold of the very highest quality. Thus, as the psalmist continues, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework." Psalms 45:13 and 14. The heavenly city. When speaking of the future bride of Christ, our Lord Jesus proclaimed, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." Matthew 5:14. In his last message to the faithful members of the bride of Christ, we are given a glimpse of the heavenly city. 1 John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21 verse 2. In symbolic language, John described later in the same chapter the adorned Christ in glory. "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Verses 10 and 11. Even as gold was associated with the heavenly bride of Christ, so also was the heavenly city seen as a divine institution. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of 1 pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Verses 18 to 21. Thus does the city of God represent the glorified Christ that has been in preparation to share in the rule over the nations. The heavenly city will be the center of blessing for all the families of the earth under the administration of Christ's glorious future kingdom. Genesis 22:18, Acts 3:25. Old order passing away. We are now living during the closing years of this present evil world, and the appointed time of our Lord's promised return. Galatians 1:4. It was to be a special time of trial and testing for those who responded to the heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. From the prophetic words of Malachi, we read, "Who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Malachi 3:2-3. We see that the world's old social order, which has been established on the basis of selfishness and pride, is passing away in preparation for Christ's coming kingdom. As evidence for this upheaval among the nations, Luke recorded Jesus' words, "There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Luke 21:25-27. All around us today we see the prophesied distress of nations with perplexity, and with no apparent solution or way of escape. Selfishness, hatred, pride, and the spirit of aggression have led to the creation of cruel and powerful tyrannies. Sin, corruption, and injustice have surely brought their awful consequences. man now has the weapons to destroy himself several times over. However, we are assured by the wonderful promises of God that the human family will not be permitted to destroy itself. The scriptures teach that human selfishness would ultimately lead to self-destruction if not restrained by divine power and intervention. Jesus spoke of this awful time and the great distress toward which the world is now moving. He said, "If those days were not shortened, no flesh would have been saved, but because of the chosen shall those days be shortened." Matthew 24:22, Young's Literal Translation. Christ and his church, in kingdom power and glory, will intervene at the proper time and then begin the work of blessing and restoring mankind back to God. The groaning creation, the poor groaning human creation, will be rescued from its own selfish and proud madness. All national and international problems will be solved under the administration of Christ's kingdom. We are promised that all unrighteousness will then be removed from the earth, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Revelation 21, verse 4 and 5. The time in which we are now living is the culmination of nearly 2,000 years, during which the faithful followers of Jesus have accepted the invitation of the heavenly calling. Thus, we are near to the time of the marriage of the Lamb. We read, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." And he says unto me, "These are the true sayings of God." Revelation 19:7-9, a test of faith. The ending period of this age is a time of special testing for the Lord's people, and the faith of each member of the Christ is being refined, purified, and proven. John recorded these prophetic words concerning this time. "The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Revelation 6:17. We are now witnesses of the rapidly approaching breakdown of all present institutions in the earth. Jesus said, "So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Luke 21, verses 31-36. Faith and works. It has always been true that those who have accepted the heavenly calling to joint heirship with Christ will be thoroughly tested. Each must stand fast in the faith of God's holy word. "Watch ye, stand in the faith, be men, be strong." 1 Thessalonians 16:13, Young's Living Translation. If the proper degree of faith is developed in us, it will surely manifest itself by bearing fruit. Those who may have only a measure of faith have not yet progressed by making it a living faith. Thus does the Apostle James ask, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." James 2:14-18. Our faith and our whole being, as individuals, is especially on trial now, and we are thus exhorted by our Lord, "Be thou faithful unto death." Revelation 2:10. Faithfulness unto death of each member of the prospective bride of Christ means an inheritance with him in glory, and the wonderful promise to share with him in blessing all families of the earth. This is the grandest gift we could ever expect to receive, and is worth striving to attain and to prepare ourselves for. Our Lord asks for our faithfulness. He desires to purge out of us everything in the nature of dross, including self-will and all the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21, 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, and 2 Timothy 2:21. Although works are essential, they should always be a reflection of the Christian's proper foundation of faith. One whose life is not in full harmony with faith dishonors that faith, and that kind of faith is dead. James wrote, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." James 2:20-26. If Abraham and other faith heroes had merely discussed their faith with one another, they would never have been faith heroes, nor have obtained a good report through faith. The scriptures reveal that they walked in faith, and their works were in harmony with their faith. Thus was their faith made complete by their works. Our faith must also be alive, active, and working in us by love. Galatians 5:6, Ephesians 6:23. The mark of love. Development of the attribute of love must also be stressed, although it does not take the place of other important factors in the life of those who have accepted the heavenly calling. For example, love cannot take the place of doctrine, but it does guide us in the proper use of doctrine. Love cannot take the place of faith or activity in the Lord's name, but it is the only motive for faith and for service that is acceptable to God. While we stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, and cooperate with others of like precious faith, we are to love each other with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1:22. We are to encourage one another to love and to good works, and to avoid every word and act that might incite misunderstanding or strife. Hebrews 10:24. Faith and love must go hand in hand. If we stand fast in the faith and are made alive by love, we are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1 5. The love of many may wax cold, but our love toward others, as we stand fast in the faith, must remain fervent even though it may be spurned by some. Matthew 24:12. If we are abused or reviled, we must see that we revile not in return. When we are persecuted, let us never join the ranks of the persecutors. 1 Peter 2:21-23. We need a strong faith and an increasing measure of the loving spirit of holiness. This should be our sincere desire and earnest prayer. God's precious word is the firm foundation for our faith, and ours must be a faith which works by love. Galatians 5:6. Enduring faith, we must bear up under the trials and stand fast while our beloved Lord continues to refine, purify, and cleanse us, that we may offer unto him our acceptable sacrifice. This will mean taking up our cross daily and following him. Furthermore, it will necessitate looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2:13 and 14. The beloved refiner is graciously working upon us, and we are to submit willingly to this work. We all need refining and cleansing because of the dross that is inherent in our earthen fleshly vessel in which our spiritual treasure resides, even as gold tried in the fire. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, the psalmist has expressed, "Lord, hear my voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." Psalms 130, verses 2-5. Throughout our pilgrim journey, we could not possibly have any standing before our Heavenly Father without the covering robe of Christ's righteousness. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Isaiah 61:10. In his letter to the brethren at Rome, the Apostle Paul said he was writing to those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. Romans 2:7. To the church at Galatia, he said, Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. Our Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, and He lovingly desires that we be conformed to His likeness and that we reflect His image. Hebrews 13:5. It is for us to bear up courageously under His refining and cleansing. As noted in the foregoing verses, we must not become weary in well-doing, and we must remember that our test is not one simply of well-doing, but patient continuance in well-doing. Then, too, we are to keep on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in this evil day. Ephesians 6:13, more precious than gold. The Apostle Peter draws our attention to the elect class, symbolized by gold that is being especially refined at this present time. Concerning the Christ class, he explains their special calling, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. The Apostle continues, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Greek, putting to the proof. Peter then concludes by saying that the trials of our faith are as gold tried in the fire. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verses 3-7. Let this be our testimony. He knows the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.